Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. It is our great pleasure and privilege to be with you on tonight, this Tuesday night, May 18th in the year 2021. Certainly, we declare that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And even though we are assembled in a virtual context, we are the people of God and his house. He dwells amongst us. He dwells in us. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promises to be in our midst. Even as we offer praise to God, the Bible says that the Lord will inhabit the praises of his people. We are delighted to be together tonight. It is our joy to come together to share the word of God and to share in an opportunity to pray together on a weekly basis. What a mighty God we serve. Certainly, we've got so much to thank him for. And I'd like to go right into our lesson. Before we go into our lesson, I want to highlight for you, to remind you concerning our Pentecostal consecration. Tomorrow, May 19th through Sunday, May 23rd, will be our consecration. And I am sharing my screen now for the benefit of those that are on the call with us tonight to show you where the details are on our website. An email has been sent out, and I hope that all of you have received the email. If for some reason you have not received it, I just ask that you will double check. And if you have not received it, you can certainly put your email in the chat to me in Zoom tonight, and I'll make sure to email that to you. So for those of you that actually have internet access, you can get that information straight from our website, www.beulahtabrocks.org. And when you get to our website, I'm showing it to you right now on the screen, depending on what device you use, whether it's a laptop, a tablet, or a cell phone, you can quickly navigate to the Pentecostal consecration information. In the right navigation area, you can see where I'm hovering, where there are upcoming events. This will always show you the three upcoming events. And so Pentecostal Consecration 2021 is there on the list. If you click on that, it will open a page that gives you the date, as well as some of the details concerning the fast, as well as the dial-in information, because we will be coming together each night, Wednesday through Saturday, nightly at 7 p.m. for our conference call prayer. And Sunday, we will assemble at 11:40 a.m. for our prayer between our Sunday school and our Sunday worship experience. This link will allow you to open up the document that was emailed to everyone. And as you saw, when I clicked on it, it opened up a page that has the documentation that talks about the fast, the focus, and there's actually a bit of an assignment that you have to do during this consecration. You have Holy Ghost homework. So again, I'm pointing this out to every single one of you that you can have access to it. You can either check it in your email, or you can actually go right to our website to the calendar area, and you'll find it there. If your navigation does not open up in this fashion where you can see it when you come right to the website, you can go to the About Us on the menu, click on Calendar as one of the menu options, and it will open up for you our calendar. You'll see for the month of May, all of the items we have on our calendar, and in particular, you'll see this area that identifies our Pentecostal consecration. You click on that, and it will open the same information up to you. And this way you'll have it one way or the other. So again, if you have not checked your emails, please do so right away. It was sent out a day or so ago. Please check your email for this and govern yourselves accordingly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for God to do a mighty work during this consecration, and I'm very excited about what God has in store for each and every one of us in the name of the Lord. At this time, we're going to begin with our lesson, and we're going to change our share screen, excuse me, to share with you the material for our lesson. But before we go any further, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor your presence this night. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful works according to the children of men, even us, your people. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. Where would we be without you? How could we go about without you? How can we survive without you? And so, Father, we've got so much to thank you for. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the healing of our bodies from diseases. We thank you, Lord, how you have redeemed our lives from destruction by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, how you crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. The regality of your anointing brings peace and joy and calm to our spirits. We are not puffed up, but we are secured in you, and you satisfy our mouths with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, I thank you that every now and then something great happens in our lives to remind us that we belong to you and that as we are in your hands, nothing shall be able to pluck us out. Speak to our hearts this night, Father. Open up our understanding of your word. Move us, Lord God, by the power of your anointing, even in our prayer, and let all things be done to your glory, allowing us to leave this coming together by declaring it was good for us to be here. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Today, again, May 18th in the year 2021, we are continuing our lessons as it relates to walking this consecrated life. This consecrated life is very important. And so we've been teaching from corrective actions for the consecrated life. Our life of consecration is not something done by accident. It's done deliberately. It's done with direction and focus based upon God's word. Oftentimes, people will allow themselves with their own natural minds to attempt to fulfill the righteousness of God through the knowledge they have in the flesh. You cannot become what God wants you to become if you are trying to become it by the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, Paul told Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth little, but I want you to understand that the flesh, your flesh, can be your greatest enemy. Not the devil, not some person, but your flesh will get in the way of your progress all the time. And you have to understand that the flesh will always try to take advantage. Jesus told the disciples that the flesh gets in the way. The flesh gets in the way. And you've got to understand that the only way to counteract the flesh is through the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so if we are to grow, then we must grow according to God's word. And if we are going to grow according to God's word, then we must know what it says. Henceforth, we study the word. Let's get right into it. You'll notice that where we're starting tonight is going to be from the book of Ephesians. So the yellow highlighted verses are always the verses that we'll be focusing on, just so that you can follow along on the screen. So we are finishing up level one fellowship. Again, we are finishing up level one fellowship, and that is fellowship amongst believers. And so tonight, I'm going to ask you, as you all are watching the screen, to volunteer to read. We've got quite a bit of scriptures to go through tonight, and so I'm going to ask everyone to be actively engaged. And if I'm asking you to be engaged, then I'm asking you to be engaged. Please be actively engaged and volunteer to read the scriptures tonight. We've got quite a bit of people on the line so far, so thank God for all of you. And we want to get moving straight away. Thank you. And please, when you send your response, please do it to everyone. I believe you all should be able to apply to everyone. And the reason why I'm asking you to do it that way is so that everyone will see what you have asked for or what you have volunteered for. So please make sure that you put your verse in the chat in Zoom in such a way that it's going to everyone and not to me directly. Going to everyone and not to me directly. All right, thank you. So we've got a volunteer for Ephesians chapter 4, and we've got a volunteer for Matthew chapter 18. We're going to take each one of those verses separately. So thank you, Sister Jones, for taking verse 15. I need someone for verse 16 and then for verse 17. We're going to proceed at this time. Dr. Marbury, thank you for volunteering. We're going to go right into, these are the last two verses that we have as it relates to level one fellowship, maintaining fellowship amongst the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Dr. Marbury, please unmute yourself and read this for us at this time. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Thank you, Dr. Marbury. And so,
you're welcome, Bishop.
As we continue in our reading, we want to put this in the context that you need to understand. This is within the context of the doctrines of Christ. The doctrines of Christ. The doctrines of Christ speak to us concerning those things we must embrace, we must believe. You cannot move into spiritual maturity unless you have a faith system that is built upon the words of the Lord. The system of our growth and development is the cooperative work of the human spirit yielded to the Holy Spirit based upon divine instruction found in God's word. Anything other than that is a deviation. Anything other than that is a counterfeit. It is the word. It is the word. It is the word. And so the doctrines of Christ, this is our belief system. The essentials of holy living, as we shared with you out of Acts chapter 2, speak to our action plan. What Christ taught has to do with our belief. We must believe these truths. We must embrace these truths. But the Holy Spirit moved upon the apostles. They took what Christ taught and they acted upon it. They didn't just let it go to their head. They let it go to their heart. And as it got into their heart, it became a part of their lives. I hope you all are hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. It's not enough to believe. Faith without works is dead. And so Christ has taught us how to live, what to believe, and the teaching of the apostles, the doctrines of the apostles, are the same as the teachings of Christ, because the apostles got their instruction from Jesus. When they taught the saints and wrote to the saints and spoke to the saints, they were the mouthpieces, they were the oracles, they were the spokesperson for Christ. When Jesus was ascended up to heaven, praise the name of God, on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples who in obedience tarried in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. That power from on high began a transformation in their lives that caused them to never be the same again. It was that dunamis, it was that power that was spoken of by the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that was released into their lives and caused them to go out into the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the extent that the commentary was they had turned the world upside down. The power of God released on Pentecost, received by the 120, and has moved in the earth ever since, is the same power that you as modern day spirit-filled believers possess. Oh, what joy, what rapturous knowledge it is to know that we have the power of God within us. And so when the Apostle Paul admonishes us to walk in unity and to walk worthy of the calling that we have received, that's not a stretch for the redeemed, because the power is of God and not of us. So many people will say, oh, this life is too hard to live. I can't do this. This is not for me. It was never for you. Grace brought it to you. Hallelujah. The devil through sin tried to keep it from you. And sin will always keep life away from you. But God in Christ, he gave us the solution. Jesus took the death so we can take the life. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the power and the love of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And so when we are admonished to walk with a spirit of lowliness and meekness, this is talking about a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, mature behavior, and a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. We're not happy just because we got a raise. We're not happy even because we got a healing in our body. We're not happy because somebody got a new house. All those things are great. All those things are wonderful. But we rejoice because we are saved. It is because of the Holy Ghost inside of us. And so Paul says we must do everything within our power to keep the unity of the Spirit, that is the unity amongst the believers by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the bonds of peace. Jesus told the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those that are confusion makers are not the children of God. They're the children of the devil, for the devil is the author of confusion. anyone that operates in confusion is operating in a demonic spirit, because confusion comes from the devil. Peace comes from God. Even Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, Christ is our peace. Oh, God. And so we must understand the unity that exists within the body, and then emulate and safeguard and protect that unity amongst the saints. There is one body, there is one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Everything we are and think and do should be permeated with the spirit of oneness. My God, my God, my God. I got to move on because I'm feeling something creeping up on me here, even right now. We must operate in the spirit of oneness and discern that anything that goes contrary to oneness is going contrary to the spirit of God. Lord, have mercy. I hope y'all can hear what's being said tonight. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. Sister Jones.
Okay. Matthew 15, verse 18. No, 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Thank you. We are going over this again because the Holy Spirit has impressed this upon me. The doctrines of Christ speak of our belief system, the essentials of holy living, the doctrine of the apostles. This speaks of our action plan. You must take action according to God's word. What you don't know, you will not be held accountable for. But what you do know, you will be held accountable for. And so if your brother trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between the two of you alone. It's a private matter. And if they listen, and if they pay attention, and they accept reconciliation, then the scripture says you have gained your brother. You have won this round where the devil has tried to bring division. Ring the bell, ring, ring, ring. Verse number 16, Sister Hobby.
But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
It's very important that you understand that this process is not something to rush through. It's something to pray through. You got to do it, but you don't rush through it. You pray through it. You pray through it because you want to ask God to touch the heart of the person even before you go to speak with them, to even touch your heart and guide your speech, so that your speech is not inflammatory when you approach. If they will not hear you when you make your first attempt, and I believe it's of the Holy Ghost to say this, that you should make more than one attempt. I'm not saying you need to make 5, 6, 7, or 8, but you ought to demonstrate in your actions that God truly sees that you are trying your best to resolve the matter. Give it your best shot. If that doesn't work, the scripture doesn't leave us with nothing else to do. It says, if he won't hear you, then take with you one or two more, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be confirmed. This is very important. Witnesses matter. Witnesses matter. They matter in the courts of this world. They matter in the courts of heaven. The Lord had often used items and even himself to bear witness to his people, sometimes even against his people. But witnesses matter. To bear witness is something that can mean the difference between release or consequence. So witnesses matter. One or two witnesses. And these ought to be people who are mutually respected by both parties. Mutually respected individuals. Verse number 16 says that you should go with those kind of people to bear witness and try your best to work it out. But verse 17 tells us what to do in the event your best efforts are fruitless. Verse number 17, Sister McCollum.
And if ye shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
So the next step, if the person does not regard the individual, if they do not regard the one or two that go with the original individual, then the scriptures say that the matter is now to be brought before the officials of the church. Because the goal is to maintain privacy because it's a private matter. If it's a public offense, it gets handled differently. But if it's a private offense, it needs to be handled privately. If they neglect to hear the two or three witnesses, then it must be brought to the official of the church, to the pastor, not to the deacon, not to the missionary president, not to the first lady, but to the pastor. There are occasions where someone may desire to speak with the pastor's wife, especially if it's a delicate matter that has to do with something that could very well be of a sexual nature. And so it may be so uncomfortable to talk with the pastor that the person might go to the first lady. Now, every first lady is not like your first lady. And so Lady Michael is an exceptional first lady who can handle things in a mature way and is able to make sure that the pastor is properly informed. She's not the kind of first lady that will take a matter into her hands when it belongs to be with the pastor. But there are times when the first lady's touch is helpful in the person being able to bring it to the pastor. I trust Lady Michael that she is of a mature quality and of a disposition that she will handle it with wisdom and with spiritual discernment. Can't say that for everybody. I can say that for our first lady. And so as such, she represents an exception. But the direction would be to bring it to the pastor. I share this because even in our congregation, there are more women than men. And again, I am sensitive to the issues that exist in our culture, our society, and our world. And this culture has become very sexual. And because of this, we have offenses in that area, horrific offenses. And even sometimes those offenses occur within the church. And so it is my heart to make this process that the scriptures unfold for us to follow as not I don't want to use the word easy, but I want you to understand you need to follow this. And so I want you to understand my heart as it relates to this matter with particular care and concern for the women and the young women, the females within our congregation, and the females that are even listening onto this right now. Bless your heart. And so crucial to maintain, to secure fellowship and to maintain fellowship amongst the believers, amongst one another. And I have shared with you concerning this. And the last part of that verse, I almost missed it. If they refuse to listen to the church leadership, if they neglect to listen and they continue in their offense and they refuse to be reconciled, the scripture says to let him be unto thee as a heathen or a publican. In other words, as an unregenerate person, a person who is conducting themselves as an unbeliever. Now, that's a hard thing, because when you talk about and acting on this, that's talking about discipline. We're talking about discipline. And that's where, at the most extreme cases, Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 speaks about excommunicating, that they should be that they should be as unto us as a Gentile or a pagan, a heathen. And basically, that is a description in broad terms of someone who is outside of the ark of safety. A person that refuses to reconcile is outside of the spirit of obedience. And if you are outside the spirit of obedience, that means you're in the spirit of rebellion. And you've got to understand that rebellion is like unto witchcraft. And judgment came down hard upon those that opened themselves to demonic spirits. Ah, God, heavy, heavy, heavy stuff tonight. Level two is what we're going to begin and move on to. Because now that we have established clearly for you for the last few weeks what it means to walk in fellowship with one another, it is important for you to understand how to walk in fellowship with God. Some people, they say, I don't necessarily need to go to church. You know, I'm walking in fellowship with God. I've got my relationship with God. But the truth of the matter is, if you are walking in any model that does not involve the body of Christ, that's not the model that God has espoused. That's not the model that the scriptures speak of, because we'll get into it later. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he spoke to them concerning the fact that the body is one body, but made up of many members. And the body ministry model obviously implies that the members, that the parts of the body operate as a whole, so that the hand doesn't operate outside of the body or apart from the body, neither does the foot operate outside of the body or apart from the body, neither does the elbow or the knee or the knuckles or the fist or the wrist or the neck or the head or any part of your body, your torso. It works in conjunction with all the other parts. And so if you find yourself embracing a concept that's not a model of the body ministry according to scripture, you got to check yourself, because you're going off into error. You're going off into error. And people often go down that path because they don't want to be subject. They don't want to be accountable. And that spirit is the same spirit that caused Lucifer to raise himself up against the Lord, saying, "I'll make my throne like the throne in heaven. I will make my throne above the throne in heaven. I will be like unto God. And there's only one person like God, and that's God. And he has given us an hierarchy for accountability in the body of Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. At the head of the woman is man. At the head of the man is Christ. At the head of Christ is God. So there's a hierarchy to be subject to. The powers that be, Paul writes to us in the book of Romans, the powers that be are ordained of God. And so there is a hierarchical authoritarian structure that we must give ourselves to, because that's a part of divine order. And when you step out of divine order, you step out of divine order and you bring yourself under divine judgment. God help me tonight. I don't know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit is talking hard tonight. And it's not hard to hurt, but it's actually hard to teach, to get you to a place, because corrective actions for the consecrated life must be understood and embraced by all of you. All of you. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. We are now in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, expanded. This is level 2, communication with God. And there are 7 ways that we fellowship with God. 7 ways that we fellowship with God. We fellowship with God through the Word. We fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. We fellowship with God through dreams. We fellowship with God through our human spirit. We fellowship with God through trances. And we'll go into Acts chapter 10, verse 9 concerning that. And for those of you that are volunteering for scripture reading, please do it with understanding we want to try to get through number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, that kind of thing. So number 1, again, is the Word of God. Number 2 is the Holy Spirit. Number 3 is your spirit. Number 4 is dreams and visions. Number 5 is trance. Number 6 is the gift of prophecy. And number 7 is messages through the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. These spiritual gifts are means through which we fellowship with God. So let's get right into it. Psalms 119. I hope you all can see this, and I trust that you all can. I'm going to try to do a little zoom in there, and then I'll move it over a little bit, but at least trying to get it in front of you so you can see what's coming up ahead. So the Word of God, I need a reader for Psalms 119, verse 89, please. Someone for Psalms 119, verse 89. We want to try to get through this, through the list. I need a volunteer for Psalms 119, verse 89. Okay, thank you.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness.
No problem. We fellowship with God through his word, and his word is unchangeable. It is the unchangeable nature of his word that allows us to be clear and confident. Clear in terms of the fact that the Lord is speaking, because and when God speaks, he's not going to be speaking one way one day and another way another day. His word is settled. It's settled. It's clear. It's settled. It's not going to change. It's clear. So we receive clarity from his word, but we also receive confidence from his word. From the fact that it is settled, it means we can stand on it. Now, if you've ever been on something that is shaky, it causes you to try to balance yourself when you're standing on it. What I love about the word is that the word doesn't require you to balance yourself, but the word will balance you. Lord, have mercy. The word will balance you. And so when you go through shaky times, it's not you balancing you. It's the word balancing you. Lord, have mercy. My God, my God. And this is why we rejoice in the fact that his word is forever settled in heaven. Let's go. Psalms 119, verse 11, please.
Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Praise the Lord. This word that balances us, it also shields us. It protects us. It strengthens us against sin. Just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that sin goes away. As a matter of fact, Paul says that sin is ever present with him. It's like you can't escape it. Not to be fearful of it, but to be cognizant of it. And so David speaks to us in Psalms 119, verse 11, and gives us insight as to how to guard ourselves against sin. The word of God, thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. The heart represents the core, represents the core, represents the nature, represents that inner part, not the heart, the physical organ, because we're not putting anything in the physical organ, but we're talking about our core, that innermost part of us, that part that is essential for life. And I think that while it's not speaking of the literal heart, the model of it, the metaphor of it is powerful, because without your heart, you'll die. You're dead, because the heart pumps blood throughout the body. If your blood circulation is in any way obstructed or hindered or affected, you will die without correction. This is why it's important for you to get a checkup to make sure that your arteries, your blood arteries, are not clogged up. And if there is any clog, that you take the corrective action to fix that, because you need your blood to circulate. Similarly, we need the word to be able to circulate freely through us. My God, my God. And so the heart of man, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. And so when we put the word in our heart, it changes us. This transformation, David spoke prophetically of it, because he understood that transformation comes from the word. The Apostle Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of our mind, the renewing of our thoughts, is connected with our heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All of this is connected. And so this is why fellowshipping with God through the word is so important. You cannot grow without the word. 7 days without the word makes one W-E-A-K, makes you weak. You need a daily dose of the word. Let's go on to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Thank you. The word of God applied results in blessings. The word of God known is good, but you're not going to get blessed until you apply it. Even when the scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but it is the action that's associated with that word, because faith without works is dead. And so it is imperative for us to get this word. David talked about hiding it in our heart. Joshua, the Lord speaks to Joshua in a transitory period in the history of Israel. Moses, my servant, is dead. This is what God told Joshua. He said, my servant Moses is dead. Joshua, it's time that you take this people forward. Arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving you unto the people of Israel. And so as he was preparing to embark on this very powerful experience, God in his mercy speaks to Joshua and tells him, you got, the only way you're going to be successful is if you put this word in your spirit. It will not depart out of your mouth. You're going to speak it. You're going to think about it day and night. And when you do that, it's going to connect you with prosperity and with success. So it's not just, it's not enough to hear it, to speak it, to meditate on it, but you got to do it. And when we talk about this aspect of the corrective actions for the consecrated life and maintaining fellowship with God through his word, if the word is not changing you, then something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your obedience. Something's wrong with your trust. Something's wrong with your faith, and your flesh is too powerful. And it's wonderful to know that one of the ways to overcome the flesh is to turn down your plate, fast, and pray. The flesh is going to get in the way all the time until we make the word a priority, where we cherish God's word and we esteem God's word greater than our necessary food, which we're about to do, which we did this day. And so you've got to put this word where it counts. Put it in your heart, put it in your mind, put it in your mouth, put it in your walk. And no matter what adversities come, because adversities will come, the word will work for you. Let's go on. We want to try to finish up number one, which is the word of God tonight. Let's go to John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
In the beginning. Thank you, Sister McCollum. In the beginning, from the start, God's Word has always been, is right now, and will always be, because it is eternal. The Word was not just with God, the Word was God or is God. And so when you approach the Word, mind your approach. When you read the Word, mind how you read it, because it is the Holy Spirit, it is God himself that is speaking to you. This is not the writings of a person. This is the writings of God through the instrumentality of people. And so you need to treat the Word of God as it is the Word of God. When somebody teaches it, when somebody preaches it, this is a part of your fellowship. And if you reject the Word, if the Word is God, the Word has been God, the Word is God, and the Word will be God, if you reject the Word, you're rejecting God. And this is why when Israel turned their backs on the ways of God, they paid such a price, because they didn't just turn their backs on the ways of God. When they turned their back on God's ways and went about doing what was right in their own eyes, they turned their backs on God. Lord have mercy. Let's go on quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, please.
For I, de- For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
The core belief of the Christian faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is revealed to us through the scriptures. It is the foundation for the hope of humanity. If you take this out of the scriptures, you basically have nothing, because Christ is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament offerings. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament priesthood. He is the fulfillment of what the tabernacle pointed to. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb that was slain for the deliverance of the Hebrews out of Egyptian bondage. Jesus is the bread from heaven that sustained when we read about Israel going through the wilderness, albeit for 40 years because of their rebellion, they were fed manna from heaven. Jesus is that bread that brings life. And the manna that was provided in the wilderness journey, oh God, points to the sustenance of the believer as we travel through this land, that no matter what we face as we traverse this ungodly world, that the bread of life will sustain us every step of the way. Lord, have mercy. And so Paul describes and shares and preaches based upon what was in the scriptures. It was the word that was the basis for him sharing this message. And it is the word that we embrace today, because he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again according to the scriptures. This is according to a twofold aspect of scripture. The first is the prophecy of the scriptures, and then the second is the recording of its fulfillment. Again, it is the scriptures according to prophecy, and the scriptures concerning the recording of fulfillment. God's word is incredible. It spoke about it happening, and it records it for us so that it is inscribed upon the tables of history. Oh, God, I got to hurry up through this thing here. Last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Please read.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Thank you, Sister Fowler. All scripture, not just verses that you want to read and then the verses that you don't want to read. This is not a fast food restaurant. This is not a drive-thru. This is not a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Burger King. This is not even a fancy restaurant where you go in and you pick stuff off the menu and you can pick one and not pick the other. All scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired speaks of God breathed. The word that's used in theology is plenary. The inspiration is it's totally given by God. God breathed is what this portion of the verse speaks of, and is profitable. It is profitable. It has value for teaching, for scolding, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You've got to understand that there are times when God will do a bunch of things in our lives, but he always does it according to his word. Don't let it faze you that the word can be strict, because it's going to teach you what you need to know. The scriptures is like mother's milk. It's necessary for life. It's profitable for instruction, for conviction, for correction, for restoration, for training. Oh God. So that we know how to live publicly and we know how to live privately, behaving in a way that gives evidence of righteousness. The scriptures teach us how to live in a way that reflects righteousness. I want you to understand, discretion comes from the word. Sensibility comes from the word. Grace comes from the word. Lord have mercy. The pattern of how to live comes from the word. And Paul told Titus that it was the grace of God that brought salvation appearing to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This word is the key to everything God has for us. And you don't get to pick and choose what you want. You've got to live accountable to God through his word. This fellowship with God through the word is not a visit. It's a residence. It's abiding in the secret place of the Most High. The word of God, the word of God is a hiding place. It's a refuge. It's a shield. Hey, glory to God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost all on this line. I got to bring this to a close. We're going to come back if the Lord tarries, and we'll finish up next time with number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. But today we've completed number 1. We fellowship with God through his word. At this time, we are going to shift gears and ask for our intercessors to come. We need to open our hearts to God tonight. And I feel the presence of God on this line, because I know that there is something happening for transformation. This word is not coming to you to entertain you. It's coming to you to transform you, to change you. Oh, God, have mercy. I'm going to ask at this time that our intercessors would come. Glory to God, from representative of the men, then the women, and then the young people, in that order, in Jesus' name.
Lord God, we thank you tonight. We praise your holy and your righteous name, Lord God. We lift up your name on high tonight, Lord God. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord God. From the rising of the sun, Lord God, hallelujah, to the going down of the same, Lord God, the name of Jesus, hallelujah, is worthy to be praised. That name of Jesus, that's above every name, that name of Jesus, that at the end of all time, that every knee will bow of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we just say thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord God, before we go any further, that we've done, if you've said anything, if you've done anything, if you've thought entertained any thought, Lord God, that was not of you, any evil thought, any sexual thought, any thought of violence, any type of sin, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that even though our sins may be as scarlet because of the blood, Lord Jesus, that you shed upon Calvary, you'll make them as white as snow, Lord God, that you will put them in the sea for forgetfulness to be remembered no more, Lord God. Lord, whatever you have to do in our hearts, do it, Lord God. Because you're coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. And we need to be ready that when you crack the sky, that we can be ready to meet you in the air. Lord, if we have any aughts with our brothers or sister, Lord God, Lord, we ask you for the strength, the wisdom, and the guidance, Lord God, to settle that aught, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that it doesn't even have to get to a point where others would have to be involved, Lord God, that those two, Lord God, or whoever's involved, Lord God, can come to resolution, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we can truly be our brothers and our sisters keeper, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just bless you tonight, Lord God, because you can do all things but fail, Lord God. We bless you tonight, Lord God, because you love us. So we bless you tonight, Lord God, because you've come for us. You die for us, Lord God. You gave your very life for us, Lord God. And Lord, we desire those on this phone, on this call tonight, even those who have been listening, Lord God, where we desire to live for you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and do what you have to do in our lives, Lord God, that we can live holy, live cleanly, Lord God, in your sight, in your presence, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to even put on that armor of God, Lord God, that we may be able to stand in that evil day. We may be able to stand against the enemy, who's the enemy of our soul, Lord God, that we can put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we can have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we can have the shield of faith, that we can have the helmet of salvation, that we can have our minds girt with the truth, Lord God, that we can have the shield of faith, that we can have the sword of the Spirit, Lord God, that we can use these tools, Lord God. We can use these tools to stand against the enemy, Lord God. And you've given us those tools to do exactly that, Lord. So we say thank you tonight, Lord God, for what you've done for us, what you're doing right now, and what you're about to do in our lives, Lord God. We praise your name. And we glorify you, Lord God. We ask you to continue to look upon our pastor. Continue to strengthen him, Lord God. Continue to keep him, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for a man, Lord God, that he is not perfect, Lord God. But we thank you for a man that's after your own heart, Lord God. In the name of that, a man that chooses to preach your word and to stand on your word and your word alone, Lord God. Continue to bless him. Continue to look upon his family, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, and bring a mighty and special blessing to his life, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for all the people that are on the line tonight, Lord God. Continue to keep them under the banner of your precious blood. There's so many that are fighting right now. They're at war, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, just to strengthen their heart, even right now. Just continue to remind them, Lord God, that you sent your only son, Jesus Christ, and that he shed his blood for us, Lord God. Strengthen everyone on the line, Lord God. And we just say thank you. And we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, for your grace and your mercy, which endure forever. We thank you, Lord God, for this time and space, Lord God, that we can come before your throne of grace, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah, and ask you, Father, to forgive us, Lord God, for every sinful thought, imagination, word, deed that was not pleasing unto you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for what we have learned, Lord God, this night, Lord God. Lord God, learning, Lord God, the aspects of communicating and fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God. Learning how, Lord God, to, Lord God, decipher, Lord God, and work out indifferences, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, for we are all of your body, Father God. Hallelujah. And you have called us, Lord God, hallelujah, to work together, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, to work together, Lord God, for your kingdom, Lord God, and for your glory, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, as we go over the aspects of how we communicate with you, Lord God, to take heed, Lord God, hallelujah, to understand, Lord God, and digest and dissect, Lord God, your word. Lord God, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Your word cannot come back unto you void, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to study your word, Lord God, that we may show ourselves approved unto you, Lord God, being workmen who needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word, which is the word of truth, Lord God. Lord God, help your women, Lord God. Help each and every one of us, Lord God, from the leadership, Lord God, to those, Lord God, hallelujah, that are on this line, Lord God, or that will join, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to live uprightly before you, to live holy, Lord God, consecrated lives, Lord God. And Lord God, when we make a mistake, that we come boldly before your throne of grace and ask you, Lord God, to forgive us. Help us, Lord God, when we are weak, Lord God, that you, Lord God, we look to you, Lord God. We look to you, Lord God, for you are our rock. Hallelujah. You are our solid rock and our foundation, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, because we can run to the rock, Lord God, which is higher than we are, Lord God. We can run to the rock, Lord God, and ask, Lord God, oh, Lord God, for forgiveness, to turn, Lord God, ask the Father God to repent, Lord God, and ask you, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, in our midst, Lord God, to help us, Lord God, during our trials and tribulation, to help us, Lord God, to get out, Lord God, of the pit, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for wherever we are, you are there, Lord God. You know everything about your daughters. You know everything about us, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we say thank you, Lord God. We, Lord God, hallelujah, surrender and submit to your will, Father God. Guide us, Lord God, to come back in fellowship if we are out of fellowship with you, Lord God. Prick our hearts, Lord God. Convict us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the gift of conviction, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for making the way of escape, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for loving us unconditionally, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. As we grow mature, Lord God, Christians, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for every life lesson you are teaching us and have taught us and will continue, Lord God, to, Lord God, show us, Lord God, and reveal to us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for, Lord God, we are on different paths, Lord God. We are on different levels, but we thank you, Lord God, for as we grow, Lord God, in grace, as we grow, Lord God, in the knowledge of you, as we grow, Lord God, and fellowshipping and communicating with you, you are there with us, Lord God, and you are directing and orchestrating our steps, Daddy. We thank you, Father, hallelujah, for directing our steps, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the man and woman of God that you have placed over us, Lord God, and Bishop and Lady Michael, Lord God. Continue to use them, Father, for your glory, to exercise and tell the truth, Lord God, of you, Lord God. Even when it hurts, Lord God, let us just say, ouch, Lord God, and accept it, Father God. Hallelujah. That we may grow, Lord God, that we may, Lord God, see you one day face to face and hear your voice say, well done, Lord God. Thy good and faithful servant, Lord God. We look, Father God, towards that day, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to make no provisions for this wretched flesh that serves us, Lord, that does not serve us, Lord God, but is designed, Lord God, to destroy us, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God, for this consecration prayer, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for the Pentecostal fast we're about to embark on, Lord God. Help us to be obedient, Lord God. Lord God, if we have to do our first works over, Lord God, guide us, Lord God, with grace and wisdom, Lord God, and discernment, Lord God, to go forward, Lord God, not looking back, Lord God, as Lot's wife did, but, Lord God, to look forward, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah, not to look back, but to look forward, Lord God, for you have great and mighty things for your children, Lord God, those that are obedient, hallelujah, to you, Lord God. And Lord God, our heart's desire is to obey, Lord God, and trust you, Lord God, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for wisdom, Lord God, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for growth in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for salvation, Lord God. Hallelujah, for all your benefits, Lord God, hallelujah. Guide us not to take them for granted, Lord God, hallelujah, but hold on, Lord God, hallelujah, to your unchanging hand. We believe you, Lord God, hallelujah, and we, Lord God, surrender all things to you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for you know us individually by name, Lord God. You know everything about us, Lord God, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. You know us, Lord God. We are yours, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God. As we, Lord God, place ourselves in your hands, Lord God, be with us and guide us, Lord God. Order our steps in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, Lord, to fellowship with people who love you as much as we do, O God, to worship you, O Lord, to magnify you, O God, to learn of you, O God, and to sing your praises, O God. It is not something we take lightly, O Lord, so we thank you for this moment, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for gracing us with your presence, oh God. Lord, thank you for visiting us. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming to see about us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for being such an awesome God. Lord, I thank you for not only having wisdom and kindness, but mercy and compassion when looking down upon us, oh God. Lord, I thank you for forgiving our mistakes, oh God. Lord, I thank you for the word that went forth today, oh Lord. Lord, let us be an example of the change that you bring, O God. Lord, let everything that we heard today, O Lord, take root in our heart, Lord. Let us bear fruit to this word, O God. Lord, let us walk with you differently, Lord. Let us fellowship with you different, O Lord. Let us be kinder to each other, O God. Lord, let us act towards each other in the way in which you planned for us, O God. Let us take heed to your word, O God. Let us be obedient servants to you, O God. Lord, work on our hearts, O God. Lord, if we are not in correct posture, O Lord, correct us with your loving hand, O God. Lord, allow us to submit ourselves before you, O God, with nothing but love and worship on our lips, O God. Lord, I thank you for Bishop, oh God. Lord, I thank you for using him tonight, Lord. I thank you for giving him this word, this timely word, oh God, to give to us, oh God. Lord, I pray that as he had poured out tonight, Lord, you pour back into him, oh God. Lord, pour into him and his home, Lord, his wife and his children and his grandchildren, oh God. Lord, continue to pour into them and strengthen them, oh God. And Lord, pour into these saints as well, oh God. Lord, let this word be an example in our everyday lives, oh God. Let strangers, as we walk past them on the street, oh Lord, see your light reflecting inside of them. Hallelujah. Let people who do not know us look at us and see your goodness, oh God. Lord, let them be in amazement when gazing upon us at your glory on our lives, oh God, on your hand on our lives, oh God. Lord, let us be ambassadors of you, oh God. Lord, we are going to deal with each other better, oh God. Lord, attitudes will be corrected, postures will be corrected, friendships and bonds will be strengthened and developed and healed and mended, oh God, because of this word, oh God. We will walk better and carry ourselves better, oh God. We will learn to correct our attitudes, oh God. Lord, if there is something about us that is incorrect posture right now, oh God, Lord, I pray that you correct us, oh God. Lord, speak to your children, oh God. Lord, we are willing, Lord, we submit ourselves before you, Lord, to be corrected, to be used, Lord, for you to make us holy, oh God, so that we may look like you, oh God. Lord, less of us and more of you, oh God. Lord, we give you our rags, Lord. We give you our tears. We give you our sorrow, Lord. We give you our broken heart, Lord. Lord, we give you our struggle. We give you the depression. We give you the anxiety so that you can give us joy, oh God, so that you can give us peace, oh God, that you may give us your yoke, oh God, so that you may give us life, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done in us and will continue to do in us, oh God. Lord, let this word work with our daily lives, oh God. Lord, for the rest of the week, Lord, may this word strengthen us, oh God, from Wednesday to Friday till we reach Sunday, Lord, to be poured into again. Let this word be the fire in our lamps, oh God. Let it be the oil in our car, the gas in our car, Jesus. Lord, strengthen and encourage us, oh God. Let this word burn a new fire in us, oh God. Let it add coal to the fire, oh God. And in Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray, amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, tonight we bless you for your word to us. We thank you that you have given us the roadmap for living. You've given us corrective actions for the consecrated life. We thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us with a treasure from heaven. Oh, God, thank you that you have forgiven us of our sins. Thank you that we don't have to walk in guilt because the blood still works. Thank you that we don't have to walk with a sin consciousness, but with a God inside consciousness. For you have made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, I thank you that even now, as we operate in obedience, oh God, we go from listeners, Lord God, to doers. We go from hearing, Lord God, to action. And I pray right now for everybody on this line that you will bless them to be good note takers and cause them to review their notes and to ask themselves, how can I put into practice what was taught on tonight? Hey, God, not to let it go in one ear and out another. Lord God, we know that our knowledge comes through reading and through studying your word. Our growth comes through practicing the word, putting it in our hearts that we might not sin against you, meditating on it day and night. Hey, and observing to do all that is commanded therein. Hey, for then will we make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Oh God, and when our knowledge increase and our practice is proficient, we thank you, Lord, that wisdom will be birthed. It comes through the experiences that we have as we go through the growth process. And so, Father, tonight we thank you. Lord, there's some things that we ask you to do in us that we need to do ourselves. We need to take your word and to walk with it. Lord God, I thank you that you give us enabling grace. Hey, for where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Thank you that you've given us the Paracletos, the Holy Ghost, the helper on the inside. Thank you that you've given us power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We shall have power. Thank you that you put fruit on the inside of us. Love, joy, peace. Thank you that you put the armor of God upon us. We cannot dress ourselves without the anointing. Hey, Lord, we thank you for the anointing to get dressed for this. Oh, God, you told us take unto ourselves the whole armor of God. But, Lord God, we want our minds to be transformed. We want our hearts to be yielded. Lord God, we come against anything that gets in the way of our obedience. We take authority over it right now. We take supernatural authority against the works of the devil. We come against him now. The blood of Jesus is against you. Hey, God, the Lord rebuke you. Spirit of depression, the Lord rebuke you. Spirit of heaviness, the Lord rebuke you. Spirit of fear, Lord, I thank you. You told us whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth is loosed on heaven. Lord, I loose peace on this line right now. a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord God, I lose faith right now, for faith without works is dead, and without faith we cannot please you. Lord, I speak right now to that little seed. Oh God, I speak to that little mustard seed, and I declare it over it right now that it shall grow to a mighty tree. I speak to the little mustard seed in somebody's heart, and I thank you that it's growing right now. The word upon it is causing it to grow. Water, rain, difficulties upon it is causing it to grow. Hey, the scorching heat of the sun, the frigidness of the winter time. Every season has its purpose. Hey, Yadadaboshanda. And I thank you that purpose is working in the lives of your people. You told us that you'll make the darkness light. The darkness has a purpose. Hey, because you'll guide us in it by your eye. What's wrong, you'll make it right. Even what's wrong has a purpose, because you show us how to do it right, Lord. You show us how to live right. You show us how to pray right. You show us how to love right. Hey, God, every battle you'll fight, even the battle has a purpose, because the battle belongs to you. Yeah, you told us to learn to stand still, set ourselves, and see you at work. You said, Lord God, even through the songwriter, our high places, you'll bring them down. With an everlasting love, you'll love us. Through trials deep and sore, you'll prove us. But there's nothing that can hurt or move us. At high places, you'll bring them down. And so tonight, Lord God, we speak against every high place that tries to come up against your children, every high place that's fighting them right now, every high place that's trying to tell them they cannot make it. The devil is a liar. And we speak the word of faith tonight. We speak the word of power tonight. We speak the word of growth tonight. We speak the word of healing tonight. Oh, God, Lord God, that withered hand, we stretch it out to you right now. Oh, God, that leprous part, we stretch it out to you right now and believe you for healing, Lord, healing in the broken places, healing in the wounded places. Oh, God, healing over your people. I pray healing over this call right now. Everybody listening, Lord God, on this call, I pray healing and peace upon them right now. The defense of peace. Lord, we don't go into spiritual defense mechanisms, oh God, that just make us feel good but don't produce any results. We are standing on the word, and we are being changed. Hey, Yanaboshanda, we're being changed into your likeness. We don't just want head knowledge. We want transformative, transformation knowledge. And so right now, Lord God, I thank you. You've given us your word. Lord God, help us to act on it. You've given us, Lord God, the instruction. Let us act on it. You've emphasized to us the need of walking in fellowship with each other. Let us walk in it. You've given us tonight the starting point of learning how to walk in fellowship with you. Let us do these things, for it is the doer of the word that will be blessed, and not just the hearer. And so, Lord God, I thank you right now. We lift our voice to you in praise. We thank you that you're coming quick, that Jesus is coming quick, and that his reward is with him. To give to every man according to as his work shall be. We bless your name right now, Father, for allowing the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, to be the forerunner for us. Hey, Yanaboshaya. Woo, the first fruits of them that slept. And even as we begin our Pentecostal consecration, we bless you, Lord God, for grace, for growth, and for glory. Let that be poured out upon your people. Give us revelation into it, Lord. As we yield ourselves this week, it's going to be a powerful week. It's going to be an anointed week. It's going to be a week of growth, a week of grace, a week of glory. And so I speak this over everyone now, and I bless your name for these precious souls. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you tonight. Please remember, our consecration starts tomorrow. The information is available on our website. It's in an email. If you have not received it, reach out to me, send a text, call a friend, get the information. Your life is getting ready to change this week. Change this week. God's about to do a new thing for somebody. He's about to do a new thing. God bless you. We love you in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.